we do see a tremendous contrast between Paul and Paul's writings to individual churches and James, as James is writing to all of those who believe in Jesus in the dispersion of those after the temple had been destroyed. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we come before you today seeking your wisdom and the word of your Son, Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart in this place be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Virginia spoke a little bit about how we're unsure of James' relationship to Jesus, but we do know in some form he was a brother. He was a brother. But as he writes in his letter, he isn't appealing as a brother of Jesus. Rather, he is defining himself as a servant of Jesus. And I think that's because Jesus, in Mark, redefines family as whoever does the will of God. That's the way Jesus defines family. And so, having heard this, James is redefining himself as well as one who follows the Lord. James' nickname in Jerusalem was Old Camel Knees. Old Camel Knees, because of the calluses, the deep calluses that he had on his knees from spending years in prayer. His faith was not just something he believed. It was something he chose to act upon every day. His total commitment to God and to Jesus was unquestioned by those of his day. James' theology forces us to make a choice whether to follow God or whether to follow the world. And this is an area where most of us modern folk would rather make compromise than choice. James' question is, what is most real, God or the world? And that's a profound question. For most of us, it's kind of like, the world is, I live in it, I spend all my time in it, and so that's what is real to me. But James is challenging that thought. James is saying, what is real is God. And all our other reality should be seen through that lens, through the lens of God, of Christ's teaching. And then we are able to judge what is real, what is good, what is just in the world. And our confusion falls away. Today's text focuses on our need to put faith into action. A measure of one's hospitality in the Gospels is found in doing God's will every day. It's not just a matter of what we believe. It is a matter of choosing to live according to those beliefs. Living in a world that does not love God with all its heart and follow God's ways is too easy. It's too easy. Because when we do that, we take on the character of the world instead of the character of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. James directs his readers to keep themselves unstained. Actually, in the Greek, it's unspotted by the world's principles, the world's attitudes, and the world's habits. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, in his notes on the New Testament, wrote, "But this cannot be done till we have given our hearts to God and love our neighbor, and particularly those who are most in need, as we love ourselves." James is making the point that faith without action is dead. That's what he's saying to us. Believing is not enough to glorify God. And as Virginia said, Paul and James are at odds at times in their ideas of what saves us. Paul says that faith in Christ alone is sufficient for salvation. In Romans 10, he writes, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." And James says then today, and also as we'll see in weeks to come, in the second chapter, faith without works is dead. Could it be that they feel like I'm from Ancient Aliens? Could it be that they're both right? Could it be that those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved? But when we call Abba, Father, Lord, we have a responsibility to act according to that. That once we proclaim Jesus is the Lord of our lives, we become a new creation in him. And we choose each day to live according to that statement of belief. We wake up and we choose what we're going to wear, what we're going to say, what we're going to do, how we order our steps that day. And we choose who we're going to follow. And make no mistake, we all follow something or someone. Putting faith into action shows we believe in the one who guides us. And we choose to order our priorities and our choices according to that. Paul himself underscores this when in the second chapter of Romans he writes, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous in God's sight, but the doers of the law who will be justified." So I think Paul and James, while they come at it from different angles, are trying to tell us the same thing. They're trying to say, what are you seeing in the mirror? Now, a little bit of historical fun. Mirrors in their day weren't the way mirrors are to us. They aren't glass with a backing, and they don't give us an accurate image of ourselves. They were polished metal. And every time you looked into that, you were seeing distortions. And to be able to look at what really was being reflected, you kind of had to move. Anybody been to a funhouse? Anybody seen those mirrors there? Okay, those are the distortions that were seen commonly during the first century, because that's the way mirrors were. And you had to look and figure out exactly what the real image was that you were seeing through the distortions. Now, for us, when we look at a mirror today, a little bit different. You may not like what you see in the mirror. As a matter of fact, when I was in Korea, this is back in the early 90s, I went in to pass an ID because I'd been promoted and I needed to get a new ID. And they had a beautiful sign there by the camera that said, "Want a better face or better picture? Bring a better face." I took that personally. But the mirrors in the first century required a little interpretation to be able to see what the true image was that was being reflected back. In James, practicing one's faith is looking into that mirror and trying to see what the real reflection should be. And that wasn't a reflection of ourselves. It was seeking out of the distortion that is ourselves the real reflection, which is the image of Christ. That's what he is trying to invite and challenge us all to do. In the contemporary church, being a Christian is often presented as a technique for happiness and for prosperity, a helpful way of obtaining what we want. And in James, Christians suffer because they follow Jesus. In much of today's church, salvation is reduced to something believed or just simply felt. But in James, salvation is when a person chooses to talk and walk like Jesus. James describes the communal and practical consequences when a congregation dares to obey Jesus' command to follow me. If you want to know, my brothers and sisters, what this distortion may look like to you, you need look no further than your day planner and your checkbook. Because that reflects in the modern world what we really value. It reflects what we choose to spend the things that are most precious to us, our time and our treasure, on. And James is saying, check out your ledgers. Check it out. And then ask yourself, are you walking your talk? These choices, these priorities that you and I make each day can be boiled down to what we value, can be boiled down to how we choose to live. And James, in no uncertain terms, reminds us and his readers to accept the overwhelming reality of God and the primacy of God and Christ in our lives. We may say one thing, we may pray in one way, but James is calling us out when we live in another. James challenges us today to act according to our beliefs and to let our choices reflect our true image, that of the image of Jesus. So, as we begin a new fall season, what do we see in our mirrors? What is the distortion that comes back at us? How are we making excuses for claiming to be a Christian and not committing ourselves to the walk which Christ sets our feet upon? As we begin this fall season, this is an absolutely wonderful time as we return to school, as we re-engage in our work after summer breaks with new vigor, as we begin new things, whether it's a new grade, a new job, a new relationship, a new commitment to Christ. It's a great time to take a moment to look at our ledgers and then decide how we really want them to reflect our choices and our priorities as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.